Welcome to the NBA Panel with your host, John Witherspoon. The NBA Panel covers the league to keep you up to date with NBA news, movements, and stats. Join us as we discuss the sport that we love, the NBA. And now, here's your host, John Witherspoon.
Yes, welcome to NBA Panel episode 121. I'm your host, John Witherspoon, with the panel members to keep updated with all things NBA. Today, we're joined by Sirius XM NBA Radio Executive Producer Shane Connolly. How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, all good. All good. How's everything?
Everything's good. It's kind of busy. See, the season has ended already.
Yeah. I'm just like finally trying to get back to normal. I didn't even sleep at all on Thursday night. I took the first flight out and I had stuff going on all day yesterday and yesterday night. So I just went straight from arena, went back to the hotel, packed my stuff, went to the airport. So it's been a grind.
Yeah, your job keeps you busy all the time. You have a dream job, man. I mean, career.
Yeah. It's good though.
I'm sure it is. So from your experience, what was the loudest stadium you've been to? The one in Toronto or was it Oracle?
Ooh, man. When I was in Toronto, I thought to myself that when they went on that run late and took the lead with, 3 minutes left, I was thinking that was the loudest I had heard since the first year at Oracle. But I think when Clay came back out of the tunnel,
yeah, that was crazy.
That was as loud of a moment as I've heard anywhere. That was, people lost their damn minds. Yeah. For good reason, too, because that was unbelievable.
Yeah. At first, it looked that serious, but it didn't, because the way he walked out, he's running in the tunnel, I guess trying to get himself back into the game. And then it settled in what had happened, and his knee started swelling up and everything, and it was serious, so they wouldn't let him back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was an incredible moment.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors are the 2000.
It was close. Both crowds were crazy. I'll give them that for sure.
Yeah, Toronto has a crazy fan base. I give them that. Besides a few fans that cheered when KD went down, you can't hold that against all of them. Yeah. But the few that did, that was wrong. But they have a true fan base. They went crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy that whole KD thing. It was one of those. I feel like everyone in the arena that I talked to had a different experience. Like, maybe it's just because we didn't see the people who were like waving and stuff on the screen. But it sounded like at first there was cheers because like there was still play going on. Like the Raptors had a fast break.
Yeah,
it was kind of like weird, like boos, because like I don't know if people thought he was faking it, even though it's pretty obvious that it was serious. But like it was kind of like people wanted to make noise but didn't know what noise to make for like a little bit, and so like everyone's kind of like making noise. I heard like a lot of boos, which was weird. But then like Lowry and all those guys started, kind of calming everyone down. And then they started doing a KD chant, which I thought was crazy. I thought it was really nice and awesome.
Yeah.
And that was like my big takeaway that they did that. I was like, oh man, that's like so Canadian and polite to like be chanting for the other guy's best player. But then I was getting texts from everyone who's watching on TV, like, oh my God, I can't believe these Toronto fans like cheering KD getting hurt. I was like, what are you talking about? They were just like chanting his name. So it was like, it was weird. Now that was one of those that seemed a lot different on TV, I guess, just how like the visuals of people waving and whatnot and like what came through versus what I heard.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That KD chant you mentioned, I actually heard that and saw the video the next day. So that eased some of the sting that I got from the initial reaction, because that surfaced different. I mean, late. So that was a good look for them. Def was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Raptors are the 2019 NBA champions. Before the season started, myself, as I'm sure as a lot of other fans and analysts, had Golden State picked. I said the only thing that could stop Golden State from winning was injuries, and look what happened. Two devastating injuries, basically, as the final started, because for a time, Iguodala had to take a game off. I believe Kevon had to take a game off because of his chest. And then Clay had to take a game off. Clay came back and eventually got hurt more in game 6. But they weren't full strength as they could be through the whole finals. But in a way, you can't take that away from Toronto, because they took advantage of the opportunity. So congratulations to them. And I don't believe this has an asterisk on it. Like a lot of people said, that the Golden State Warriors had an asterisk on their championship because Kawhi got hurt in, was it 2017? In that that playoff series against when he was with the Spurs, he got hurt and was unable to play. But injuries are a part of the game, and they took advantage, like I said, of the opportunity, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible run by the Raptors. Here's the thing on injuries. It's a big factor in why a team doesn't win, right?
Right.
But the winning team never wants to hear about it. It was the same way, you know, you mentioned the one with Kawhi getting hurt and Zaza. But, I mean, I think the bigger one for me was their first year against Cleveland. You know, all the LeBron fans were saying, well, they didn't have Kyrie. They didn't have Kevin Love.
Right.
That drove the Warriors crazy, because the fact of the matter is, in pretty much every single NBA year, you could point to a contender that didn't have a key player during the playoffs. And then you could say, well, if that team had that guy, everything would have been different. And maybe it would have been, maybe it wouldn't have been. But at the end of the day, all you know is what actually happened. And that is, in 2015, the Warriors were champs, no matter what the Cavs had.
Right.
And in 2019, the Raptors are champs, no matter what the Warriors are going with. You wish you got to see full strength versus full strength, because that makes for more fun basketball.
Right.
But that doesn't take anything away from what the Raptors accomplished, because they were incredible.
They were.
The entire finals and the entire playoffs.
They were. And Kawhi had to help all the way through. Every game was someone else stepping up, whether it was Gasol or Van Fleet. Van Fleet was key in that clinching game. He hit clutch threes after clutch threes. And he was a major reason they won the championship and that game. Because without him, Kawhi didn't have enough help, I don't believe, in game six. Because before Clay went down, I believe Golden State would have pulled that game out. But he went down, that took the air out of the building, and they pulled it out.
Yeah, I mean, he was unbelievable. And that was, by the way, for the first two rounds, he was awful. I mean, I think pretty much probably most Raptor fans are like, get this guy out of the rotation. He can't play. I heard people calling for Jeremy Lin to start playing because they didn't believe it was so bad.
Right.
And now you got the guy getting an MVP vote from Hubie Brown for finals MVP because he was so big. Like, that's just, you know, the crazy nature of basketball. But really, like, what this Raptors team had, it was like, when it wasn't one guy, I mean, Kawhi was great throughout. But even the last couple of games, he wasn't great through the whole game. I mean, in game five, he went nuts in the fourth quarter, but was pretty – you know, subpar before that, you know, especially standards. And then, you know, in game six, he wasn't having his best game. But, you know, Lowry, you knew going into game six that the Warriors were going to come out firing. They knew once and for all it was their last game at Oracle. You knew that they were going to want to show out, you know, with KD out, and that finally settled. They were going to want to play well for him. So you knew they were going to come firing out of the gate. Instead, what happens, Kyle Lowry, bang, 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 8-0 run. And now that kind of put everyone back on their back heels a little bit. So Lowry had his moment.
Definitely.
Ibaka played like a man with a hair on fire for the last, you know, four games. Marc Gasol had his moment. Danny Green had his game where he went crazy from three. So, like, what the Raptors had that was awesome to see is, like, it wasn't necessarily every single guy every single game, but they didn't need every guy every game. They could have Pascal going off for 30-plus points one night and then, you know, not as great the next night, but that still worked. They were still able to win. Norman Powell would go from not playing one game to, you know, 15 points off the bench the next game. And they were just able to piece it enough every single game together. They got enough performances from enough guys around Kawhi every night that led them to the championship. It was awesome to see. It was obviously reminiscent of that strength in numbers from the first Warriors championship. It was just, you know, one night it was Iguodala, the next night it was Ron Livingston, the next night it was Harrison Barnes. Like, they always had a guy step up around their stars, and that's what the Raptors said this year.
Yeah, they definitely could use Harrison Barnes this year.
definitely. Sure.
But backtracking on what you said about the Van Fleet MVP chatter, I think that's prisoner of the moment. You know, some people get caught up in a moment because of a greatness someone just did. Yeah, but he was definitely a good key in what just happened, though. So
I mean, listen, I think. I don't really know what Hubie Brown was thinking on that one. I think pretty much everyone would understand that Kawhi was the reason why the Raptors won the series. But I don't know, maybe in his mind, and I'm okay with this, if this is how he explained it, in that, like, hey, you knew Kawhi was going to win. Let's, like, show some love to a guy who I thought was phenomenal. Maybe that was what he rationalized it as. I can't really see a reason why he would give it to him over Kawhi, but right. Hey, he had a great series. So if you want to give him some love just based off the fact that you knew Kawhi was going to win anyways, maybe I could buy that.
Right. And Kawhi actually went on Sirius XM NBA Radio and spoke to Eddie and Justin about his rest plan that him and Toronto came about, and actually worked, because he said he didn't play all regular season games to nurse his injury, and that's how he was fresh for the playoffs. I think a lot of players are going to take this trend, and some players have, LeBron takes games off. Some people didn't like it. And it was a big thing in the league where certain major players or superstar players would take off, and some fans didn't like it because they paid money to see certain players they didn't play. But what you got to do is the best of the team and the players sometimes. And I think a lot of players are going to take a page out of Kawhi's book of what he just did and rest next season to be ready for the playoffs. Do you think that's going to be a good idea?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think the two things that are going to happen, the two big picture things that come out of the Raptors winning with Kawhi and how everything was handled. One is what you mentioned, and guys, load management and all that through the year, which again, like you said, was something that's not like it's foreign, right? Going back to the fact that Kawhi was on the Spurs and they used to always do it with Duncan and Ginobili and Parker as those guys get older. Same with LeBron the last few years for the most part. We take some time off during the year knowing that they had a long run. Even though the Warriors did it to a certain extent, they would give guys some time off knowing that they had a long road ahead of them. So I think that's one big picture thing we'll see. The other is, now as we look at the Anthony Davis situation, like teams more willing to take a risk on a guy who might leave after a year. Hey, if you get your championship in that 1 year, that's what it's all about, right?
So definitely.
Teams be more willing to trade for a guy like AD, even if they think AD will leave, based on the fact that, hey, if we could get a chip in that 1 year, hey, let's roll the dice. So those will be the two big picture things that will be interesting off of Kawhi's success this year with the Raptors. I'm kind of up to minds on the rest load management thing because I get it, right? I get that it helps. But yeah. You also don't want to devalue the regular season because you talk to people who are not our casual NBA fans or sports fans, pretty much they'll all say like, well, the NBA regular season doesn't mean anything, right? Right. It's all, no one cares in the regular season. The NBA regular season doesn't mean anything. It's like, you're kind of playing into that negative perception of the league. And you don't want that as someone, if you care about the league, you don't want people not checked in and not caring about the regular season, right?
Exactly.
And so then most people will counter that, well, let's shorten season from 82 to 70 or 65 games. But like the fact of the matter is you'll still be more rested. Even if the season was shorter, even if the season was 70 games, well, then maybe Kawhi plays 55. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's really not a point where it's like, okay, this is the perfect amount of games for people to play. More rest will always help you long term, right? So you could always justify sitting out more games. So I don't really know that shortening the season would do the trick, but I also understand that, and I want guys to play in as many regular season games as possible just so we get, that competition, that high level throughout the season. But I also understand that it's a long grind for these guys, especially if they make finals run after finals run or deep playoff runs. And, then the guys who play over the summer for their country, whether that's USA or international, like I understand it's a long grind.
So right.
People need to, especially after they're coming off an injury like Kawhi was this year, manage their minutes, manage their workload. And I think that's, he wants them to be out there. So as a fan and as a consumer of the league, so it's one of those, I kind of understand why the league hasn't found a perfect solution because I think there is one.
Yeah, I think the importance of the regular season, my opinion has always been that the importance on the regular season was more important for the Western Conference than Eastern Conference. Because before LeBron went to the West, we all basically knew LeBron was coming out of the East. And teams in the West always average, I'd say, 45 to maybe 52 wins on an average just to get into the playoffs. The West has always been tougher than the East. But now that LeBron has come over to the West, I think teams in the East know the regular season is more important now because now more people have open window. Now there's like 4 to 5 teams that truly believe they can win a championship. I mean, look at this year. Like, a lot of people thought the Bucks were going to win the championship, but Toronto came out of the East and won the championship. I mean, next year, they have, the Lakers are favored for next year because everybody thinks AD's going to go there, which is basically, we'll see. But I think it's a done deal because he's already sending signals he want to go play with LeBron in L.A. So, but I think the importance of the regular season was more of a focus for the Western Conference because of the toughness over there.
Yeah, no, that certainly is true. I mean, obviously the last few years before this year, you saw, LeBron seem not necessarily take the regular season all that seriously and then be able to cruise through the Eastern Conference. Whereas, the last few years in the Western Conference, it's been one game basically separating the 2 seed and 7 or 8 seed. So, the Western Conference, obviously, regular season has been more important. But I don't know. The East, I think we could see a scenario where everything looks a little bit different next year. So we'll see. I mean, you saw this year, I think the Celtics tried to kind of not be in high gear the entire regular season.
Yeah.
I think that kind of bit them a little bit. So, everyone handles it differently and it'll have different results for different teams, right? So, and at the end of the day, you can rest a guy all you want if, in the first game of the playoffs, they come down and they twist their ankle. Was that really preventable if the guy sat 5 more games or regular season or not?
Exactly. And Kawhi has a big decision in front of him. I mean, I think that was a plan when Masai Ujiri made this move. I mean, he got rid of DeRozan, got Kawhi, and switched coaches out. A lot of people, he got a lot of flack from a lot of people, and it paid off. That's the ultimate goal. They won a championship, first one in team history.
Yep.
My opinion, I think he stays. I mean, he has a chance to have, he could be bigger than Drake. He has a whole country behind him. How many people can say that? Like, this whole country, they already started a petition to have free food for him, like, wherever he goes. I'm sure they're going to give him free cars now. Like, it's going to be it's going to be crazy. He's going to be like a god in Toronto. I think he stays, but we'll see. He might have a different motive to leave, but I don't see why he leaves. But, I mean, he can get the most money there. Like, if the city has a whole country behind him now. And they can legitimately go for back-to-back next year, coming out of the East. They make another move to get another piece for him. I think he stays. What's your take on that?
Yeah. I mean, listen, first of all, we've never seen a guy lead a team to a championship and then leave that team. I mean, we've seen a lot of unprecedented stuff the last few years.
Right.
So I can't rule it out. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, first of all, those Toronto fans, like you mentioned, are insane. I mean, there was a bunch of them at Oracle, probably maybe 1,000 fans that got into Oracle, which definitely was not cheap for the last game at Oracle to get inside the arena. And then they all kind of congregated after the game down by the court. And they were singing, "Oh, Canada." They were chanting, "We the North." They were losing their minds. It was awesome to see. I mean, and then that goes, and then in Toronto, what I saw there, I mean, people were losing their minds up there. I went to get something for my dad for Father's Day 2 days before the game, 2 days before the game, not day before the game, not day of the game, and two different stores around had a line out the door to get into the store.
Right.
Just because everyone was going so Raptors crazy. I mean, I had never seen anything like that before. It was wild. I mean, everyone was going crazy for the Raptors up there. And like you said, I mean, it's not just a city. It's an entire country that you have supporting you, which is obviously very different than anywhere else. And so, I mean, that is a very appealing situation to stay in. I mean, they could bring back a lot of and have a very similar crew and a conference that, again, seems fairly open for them to make a run. So I think there's a lot of reasons to stay, but as we've seen through this entire thing, Kawhi's a different guy. So I'm not going to try to predict what he's going to do. I can be like, all right, I won. Now I'm going to go to live in L.A. because I want to live in L.A. I mean, you mentioned what Kawhi said with the load management to Justin Eddy on the radio the other day. Another thing he said that I thought was interesting, and it's kind of cool that if, LeBron said it heading into free agency, everyone would lose their mind and, like, overreact to it for, 3 weeks straight. But Kawhi says it in his, like, monotone, understated way, and it kind of was not a big deal. And, I mean, I'm not saying that it should have been blown into a big deal, but he said, hey, and this is, again, before Game 6, before they actually closed it out, he said, hey, I already consider myself a winner. I got a championship. I'm 26. I just, like, playing basketball and having fun. And, that doesn't mean that he wouldn't stay in Toronto, but I don't think, like, he's already satisfied, right? Like, so maybe he does decide, hey, okay, cool. Well, I'm there. Now let's go live in L.A. I have no idea, Kawhi, and I don't think anybody knows. I don't think Masai knows. I don't think Lawrence Frank and the Clippers know. I don't think anybody knows. Maybe Kawhi knows, but I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't even really thought about it and made a final decision. So he's a different dude. He's tough to get a read on. So we'll see. But I would think, I mean, personally, I could not see leaving this year. What I could see is maybe signs like a short-term deal to stay in Toronto, and they kind of play out the string with Lowry for another year or two, and then when Lowry and Ibaka and Gasol kind of get to the point where it's really untenable with those guys, and they're, you know, now they're kind of towards the tail end of their peak, and once they're past their peak, maybe he moves at that point. But I think it would just be real tough to leave that team right now heading into the summer, which you know, it'll be interesting, but it'd be tough to see.
Exactly. Speculations all over the place because he's come out and said that he doesn't play for the fans. He just loves the game. At the same time, he was asked, did he buy a house in Toronto yet? He said it didn't happen yet. That yet made everybody think, like, oh, he's going to stay.
Yeah, that was a key word.
Yet. So that
went up. I mean, we'll see. I think a lot of things of how people saw free agency play out were kind of turned out on their head the last few weeks, because I think a lot of people were like, well, Kawhi, the Raptors, they'll lose in either the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe they'll get, you know, killed in the finals by the Warriors, steamrolled by the Warriors. And then they'll say, like, okay, I did my job. I brought you guys further than you've ever been, but this team isn't good enough. I'll leave for the Clippers now. But they won, so that was turned on its head. He can win there, right? He keep winning there. That was an incredible run. And then you got the KD side of things, right, where it was like, done deal, he's going to the Knicks. But obviously his injury flips that on its head a little bit. So now it's an entirely different scenario. I think both the Knicks and Warriors would still max him out, but it's like, where does he want to spend a year off, essentially, getting better?
Right.
Does he want to do that with the Warriors doctors? Does he want to do that at Edward? So I think there's a lot of things that people kind of thought were maybe done deals that went through big changes over the last couple of weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, and report came out, they intend to give both KD and KT 5-year max contracts, which is a good move PR wise. Plus, I mean, these are two guys you can't really replace. When they're healthy, we all know the damage that KD does. He's arguably the best player on the planet besides LeBron James. His size and height, he shoot over anybody, gets his own shot. We saw the last two finals before this one, he pulled up from 40 feet, basically clinched the championship for Golden State 2 years in a row, where he won the finals MVP. And Klay Thompson, we know about game six, Klay Thompson. He was on his way to another historic game six before he got hurt. He had 30 points before he went down in the third quarter, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that one play, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish up.
That one play, he came down court. It was like a 4-on-1. He just pulled up from like 35 feet. That play sticks out in my mind about game six. And after that, I believe he got hurt a few plays later. But he was on track for another story game. He def was.
Yeah, no. I was actually going to bring up that same exact play. That was like a F it. You know, I'm hot. That was
right. That was a heat check.
Heat check, he was hot, right? Like, that was like, He was rolling. I mean, that was unbelievable. It's one of those things, like, going into the game six play, and it's like, all right, are we kind of overblowing this whole game six play thing? I mean, it's really just based off, you know, a couple of performances, right? Like, you know, the Thunder won, the Rockets this year. Like, it's pretty small sample size. Are we blowing this out of performance? And then you go down and start doing that, and you're like, nope. Game six play is a thing, right? Like, he was at the free throw line early, and the fans were chanting game six Clay. I've never seen that sort of thing at a game, chanting game six Clay. I mean, he's a ridiculous player. I think it's really sad, but amazing. Like, that was kind of performance, not just the 30 points, but then the injury, the coming back out to shoot those free throws.
Yeah.
Like, now I feel like people, not that they didn't appreciate him before, but I think sometimes he does get overlooked in the, you know, course of, you know, everyone talking about the Warriors, right?
Right.
But he is so damn good, man. And he is tough as hell. And after those free throws and after that performance, people kind of, you know, it was a realization moment, if not, you know, bringing it to light. Anyway, on their injuries, I mean, the Warriors got to give him the max and just hope for rehabs. I mean, in a weird way, it'll kind of almost be like a redshirt year for the entire team, right? Like, I would be surprised. I think they'll let things go early and kind of see how they play out, but I think they'll give Steph plenty off, right? I don't think they want to run himself into the ground.
Right.
For a team that probably has a pretty, a little bit lower ceiling. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, this team has played so many games over the last few years. Maybe taking a year to hit the reset button and kind of, again, not a year off, and all those guys are crazy competitive, so they would never, ever, ever say they're taking a year off. But it'll almost be interesting. I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain thinking, if we've ever had a team that has had two superstars potentially out for the team for the whole year, like, and you know that going into a year, I mean, that's pretty unprecedented. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see how they handle it. But I know, again,
definitely,
Steph, Draymond on the floor, those dudes are competitive as hell, and I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make something of it just to prove everybody else wrong.
Yeah, their heart is definitely still there. And when Clay came out and hit those free throws, that everybody think back to when Kobe did it, when he tore his Achilles and came back out on the floor, hit two free throws. Like I said, like you said, the respect level for him and KD went up a lot, because KD took a lot of flack when he went to Golden State, and that like kind of erased some of that for some people because of what he did. He gave it all to his team, tried to be out there with him, mm-hmm. and forcing the injury. But they both earned more respect from a lot of people, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that, like, it kind of sometimes takes injuries to, you know, focus and, you know, respect for these guys that, you know, should have had it all along. But that's just kind of the truth of the matter. So, hey, I'd rather they get it than not, right?
Definitely. And I'm sure they're not going to have a problem revamping their bench. A lot of players are going to want to go to Golden State and take a pay cut to play there, because we don't know what Iguodala is going to do yet. We don't know what Livingston's going to do. I think Livingston is going to come back, but we'll see. Those guys have a lot to think about over the summer also, because next year the West is only going to get more stronger, especially the Lakers if they get AD and maybe Jimmy Butler, but that's all speculation right now. But as we all know, it's moving toward. So they already had the Lakers at the title favorites right now, and no moves have been made yet. Like, somebody knows something in Vegas or something, because they're going to jump the Lakers to the top over the Bucks and the Clippers, and the Raptors just won. So this free agency is still going to be crazy with two major players hurt. But like you said, they're both still going to get max offers.
Yeah, you know, it'll be, on the Lakers thing, it's interesting. Like, I think that's kind of a hedge by Vegas, because if they got AD and a key free agent, then they would definitely be the favorites. And I think they don't want to get into a position where, you know, a bunch of guys bet on them,
right,
at, you know, 12-1, and then they sign those guys and then they shoot up. So I think it's a little bit of a hedge on Vegas' part, because man, it's tough for me to call the Lakers favorites right now. Yeah, AD wants to go there, but
If
the Pelicans don't want to trade him there, then he's going to be waiting a year. And, you know, while the Lakers, I could see them signing Jimmy Butler for sure. They're not signing Kawhi, right? So obviously it doesn't matter if they sign KD. They're not getting that tier guy, right? So
exactly.
Is that good enough if they don't get AD? And even if they get AD, keep in mind they're probably going to be trading pretty much all of their young players, right?
So right.
It might be a pretty thin team behind him, and you have an aging LeBron. So how many minutes of games does he have in him for next year? So I think that's not as much of a lock as the Vegas odds might lead you to believe, even if they do get AD. I think they'll be – I think they'll still have a long way to go. I think it will not be a lock for them.
Exactly. Plus, you ought to factor in maybe if injuries happen. And when it comes – especially in the West, playoff matchups are a beast, because we all know – like with Steph, most players put him in a pick and roll, and players always trying to pick on Steph all the time, like defensively. So we got to factor that in also when the playoffs start. So we're going to see how the West shapes out next year. It's going to be crazy.
It'll be as wide open in both conferences as I think we've seen it in a long, long time.
Definitely. Definitely. Shane, before you go, can you get us caught up on your career? How you got into Sirius XM NBA Radio?
Yeah, no doubt. So I've been with SiriusXM for about 10 years now, five on NBA radio. Just kind of came in. I worked on most of the SiriusXM. You know, we basically have a channel for every sport, right?
So, yes, you do.
you know, I've worked on our baseball channel. I've worked on soccer before it was even a full-blown channel. It was just a singular show. I've worked on college stuff. I still work on some college stuff. Fantasy, spent some time on. Basically, all of our, you know, NFL filling in here and there, Mad Dog filling in here. So I've kind of hit all of the sports channels. But then about 5 years ago now, when we relaunched NBA Radio on SiriusXM, I love the NBA. So yes. I was like, all right, line me up. Let me get in on this one. And so I've been with NBA Radio since then. Came in after that first year. So the first year that I was on NBA Radio was the first year of the Warriors championship run. So I kind of feel like everything with the Warriors like is synonymous with my time in the NBA, right? and it was funny, like I was just started on the channel. I started in September on the channel, and then we do a training camp tour. And I had been on the channel for like 2 weeks, and they sent me on the road for training camp tour. And we went to Portland, and then the second place I ever went to was Golden State. And that was, you know, they were coming off firing Mark Jackson, hiring Steve Kerr. They had a nice year the year before, lost in the playoffs. So they were a nice, like, young playoff team, but they were not the juggernaut Warriors, right? And so it's just, I always think back to, like, their vibe then and, like, what they've become since then. Yeah, so that's I produced for, you know, we mentioned a couple of times, Justin Termini, Eddie Johnson, their show in the afternoon. I produced for them for a few years. And then I produced for Jerry Greenberg and Brandon Haywood for a few years on the 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time show in the middays. And now I am out of studio and just kind of overseeing all the shows as we head into a crazy, crazy
calendar. Yes. The NBA just resets. It never stops.
Yeah,
basketball
exactly.
never stops. Shane, thank you so much for joining me, man. I'm going to let you go about your busy day you got scheduled up. Thank you so much for joining me today,
yeah,
man. Enjoyed it so much.
No, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
All right, talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Yes, that was Shane Connolly, producer for SiriusXM NBA Radio. Shout out to XM Radio. And I'll catch you next week.